Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Emotional Management, a weekly checkup from the neck up with Dr. Christian Conti, brought to you by Summit Psychology Services on KDKA Radio.
Hey, welcome to Emotional Management. Happy Monday. What a beautiful day to be alive. The more we can stress gratitude in our lives, the more peace we feel. I'm looking forward to tonight's show. I'm excited to share some really great stuff with you. I have a wonderful guest coming up. Super excited about that. If you want to be a part of the show, the number is 866-391-1020. And then, of course, you can always email on the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkaradio.com. Or you could text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. That's the best deal in Pittsburgh. So I live a very busy life. I am devoted intensely to my work and the message and what I want to do with my career. So I'm a busy man. I'm all over the place and I work very hard. One of the things I thought we could talk about is the emotions that go behind work ethic, because I think a lot of times people believe that those who are doing a lot somehow have it easier. And I think the reality is that when you want something, there are emotions attached to that. So you have the physical day in, day out grind, going after whatever it is that you want. But you also have the mental stress. You have the mental obstacles at times where maybe you're tired and you don't really feel like doing what you're you need to do. Maybe there are times when you feel overwhelmed. Emotions can certainly play a role in stopping people from getting what they want. And one of the great challenges is how to navigate those emotions to be able to get what you want. I had an opportunity to speak in several different places these past few weeks. I was off last week, but I was, it's a blessing to be able to go to these different places and connect with people from so many different walks of life. But last week I spoke in a prison in the eastern part of Pennsylvania, and the interactions that I had with some of the inmates were powerful. Some of the guys were talking about regret. And it was interesting because it wasn't just the inmates who were talking to me about regret. I also had a chance to speak in with organizations. And I also had some people come up to me and that theme seemed to come up, regret. So I thought, man, I want to address this on my show this week. So we're going to talk about that because, look, we all have regrets. There are always things that we do and we say, I would have liked to have done this differently, or I would have, I wish that things didn't turn out the way they did, or I'm sorry that I made the choices that I made. And to be human is to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. But here's a truth, and I think this truth can be very empowering to understand. There's always more than one way to see something. So for instance, when you're looking back on your life and you're thinking, man, I really regret this, I regret this, you can really get stuck in that regret and it can stop your present. In fact, it can really inhibit your peace in the present moment. So now that the situation is over, because we cannot change the past, we can't get a second of it back, now our only task is really looking at whatever happened in different ways. And there are always different ways to look at a situation. So I was talking to a man who was telling me about regrets from his younger days and times he would have liked to have spent with his family. He didn't spend that kind of time with his family. And I feel that. I mean, obviously, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to listen to someone say, I wish I would have spent this time with loved ones. I don't think anybody ever regrets spending time with loved ones. I think that's a powerful truth. But if you are in a situation where you regret some of the things in the past, one different perspective to take on that is think about, what if you learned that lesson and then shared that wisdom with others so that you could help other people not make those same mistakes? When you're able to take the mistakes that you've made in life and turn them into lessons and then share those lessons, you have an opportunity, I think, in, let's say in a sense of karma, to really make up for whatever happened in the past. Look, I believe that we all do the very best that we can with what we have in any given moment. And that's true of you as well. Sure, you did things in the past that you're not proud of. You did things in the past that you wished you would have done differently. So have I. We all have. I think that we really do the best we can with what we have in any given moment. And now that the situation's over, now there is what we are left with is really defining for ourselves why our life went in the direction that it went. But here is another very powerful truth. The more you dwell in regret, the more you take away from your present moment and your present experience. So I've seen people miss out on time with family in the present because they were so wrapped up in regretting mistakes of not being there for family in the past. So you can see how from the outside that hanging on to regret too much can really inhibit what you do from this moment forward. So when Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, the legend is he worked really hard for a long period of time, and he handed it to a young boy to take it to the other room. And so the young boy took two steps and bam, he dropped the light bulb and it shattered everywhere. So then they worked really hard for 24 straight hours to get this light bulb fixed. And when they got it fixed, the moment it was fixed, Thomas Edison, he looked at the young boy and he handed him that light bulb again. And he knew that in that moment that he was giving that boy a chance, but it was something so much bigger than just doing an errand. It was showing him that, look, we all make mistakes, but we can learn from those mistakes. I've heard stories of people who have cost their organization millions of dollars and think they're walking into getting fired. And the next thing you know, the boss says, fire you. I just spent millions of dollars on teaching you a lesson. Now I need to have your experience be in the foreground. In life, we are always going to have moments where, yes, we would have liked to have done things differently. But my hope for you is that you stay focused on what you can learn and then in turn what you can share with others. Now, that's another piece that I would love to get into tonight, which is how do we teach? How do we teach and actually let go? For so many people, when they teach, it's a challenge because they want students to learn exactly the way they want them to learn rather than teach. And the other thing that happens is all too often for parents, teachers, and certainly in the field of counseling, the main job of a teacher, a parent, a counselor is to help people become independent and no longer really need you. That doesn't mean that they don't want to be around you. It just means you want to make sure that they don't need you, that you help them become independent. And that's a challenge for a lot of people because there's a fear that when I make you independent, you will no longer need me, hence you will no longer want me. But I think there's a big difference between that. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But coming up, I'm really, really excited because Dr. Larry Burchett is going to join me. He's an ER doctor. He's a gentleman. He's the author of The Gentleman's Diet, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with him. This is Emotional Management. If you want to be a part of the show, 866-391-1020 and Dollar Bank Instant Access, kdkaradio.com, and text us at 866-391-1020. But I'm really excited to talk with Dr. Larry Burchett coming up. This is Emotional Management on KDKA Radio. This is Emotional Management. It's the show where we are going to help you manage your emotions. And helping me right now is my guest. I'm super excited about Dr. Larry Burchett. He is a gentleman. He is an ER doctor, and he's a gentleman. He's the author of The Gentleman's Diet. Listen, the word gentleman, that's different in today's world. So tell me about that.
Emotional management. That sounds terrifying. Yeah, today's gentleman, let's talk about that. I think it means a couple things. I'm excited about this idea. You know, classically, the gentleman is thought to be, you know, kind of chivalrous, holding doors, pulling chairs out for the ladies, looking good in a suit. But I think today there's a new kind of gentleman, a new breed that's needed. This is right up your alley, Christian.
I love it.
Deeper, you know, with some depth. Here's four things I think that this new gentleman needs. Number one is what I call emotional wisdom.
I love that.
Know when to be vulnerable, have some depth, doing the work, you know. Women today, I think they're evolving at an incredible pace. I think it's great. I'm happy for them. They need partners. I feel like they're way ahead of us.
Well, I would agree with that. That's for sure. Women are ahead of us. I mean, I laugh. My wife is younger than me, and we always say that I'm that much less mature still, even though she's much younger.
Yeah, no kidding. I think they, you know, these ladies want partners, true partners. And I think part of that is a man that's emotional enough to connect with them on those level. And that takes work. I think it's easier for a woman to naturally get there than us.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, right off the bat, I agree, because I believe that as men, we're often not taught when we're young to embrace our emotions. We're often taught to, hey, suck it up, stop crying, and that somehow emotions got connected with weakness. So, yeah, we're not really taught to embrace our emotions.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear a lot. I am really interested, because this is right up your wheelhouse. I mean, this is like, especially in the prisons and anger and all that stuff that you deal with, you see the direct connections between how we raise boys and then stuff that you see in the prisons?
Oh, so much so. So, for instance, let's say I was speaking in a prison the other day, and a group of guys, they when they're in a group, and it's really interesting to watch this dynamic, but when they're all sitting there in a group, the idea of showing that you're actually engaged and interested, now they'll be dialed in, but as far as like letting their guard down to even laugh at stuff that's funny, you know, I make a joke about that, and it takes a little bit for them to warm up to even start to laugh, because, you know, I have to act really stoic, I have to act really tough. But I commented on that the other day. I said, you know, it's interesting, a room full of guys, and all of a sudden we have to be like, no, I don't think anything's funny. Like, I mean, not me, I'm not funny. And but then they started laughing with that. But it took a while. But yes, I do believe that, because there's a difference between assertiveness and aggression. And I think that since if we don't teach guys how to be assertive, they end up just being aggressive.
So in that setting, instead of kind of having the tough guy mask on, what would you want men to do instead?
Well, I think what I try to teach people to do, what men to do, is to learn to be able to just say, call whatever is going on with you. So if you're hurt, you don't have to break down and sob and weep just to acknowledge that you're hurt. So, for instance, a lot of times in a relationship, if someone does something and it's hurtful, instead of a lot of the men I've worked with through the years, instead of just saying, you know what, that really hurt me, or when you went and talked to that person, that really hurt me, instead it'll be like, no, I'm not hurt. Now I just want to be controlling and cover that up. So I'd say express it, express it, express what's going on inside of you.
That just gets to my vulnerability thing that I was going to ask you about, which is, you know, when is it appropriate? I'm thinking of examples where it's like, no, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. I, for fear of, you know, just what you're talking about.
Well, I could give you an example of that. The other day I was saying this. I said, you know what, we talk about anxiety, and I struggle with anxiety. I experience anxiety. It's a physiological, chemical process. I mean, I feel like I didn't even do your intro enough justice. I mean, you're an ER doctor. You're literally saving people's lives every day of your life. Like, you know the brain, you know the body. But it's a physiological process to experience anxiety. There's nothing wrong or bad or weak about it. It's just some chemicals are moving around a certain way, and so we perceive ourselves to be, and it really, like, neurologically, fear and anxiety look exactly the same, right? So if we, there's no difference. So yes, I can just say, so I was telling some guys, I said, so I struggle with anxiety, and a guy said, I could never say that. He came up to me afterward and he said, but I really do. He said, I can tell you, but I could never tell a group of people that. And I said, in any way, shape, or form, did you perceive me as weaker when I said that? He said, no, I actually thought that was pretty strong for you to say that.
And I said, so there's a way that you did that where you owned it, and I was like, oh, wow, good for him. He just said that. So if this psychologist, counselor, big muscle man, if he admits that, maybe I can say I've got some anxiety from time to time.
Yeah, and it's not, I think we go from one extreme to the other. So I think a lot of times people believe, well, if I say I have this, everyone's going to think I'm weak now, and now I'm completely weak. Well, this is what's my secret is. I have more than 20,000 hours of clinical counseling experience. I have worked with some of the toughest people in the world. I have seen behind the scenes one-on-one that everyone experiences that vulnerability. Everyone. So now I'm kind of armed with that knowledge. When I go to speak with someone, if they pretend that they don't, I know that that's all the more of a mask of what they're hiding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. I guess the thing that I struggle with, like, there are some moments where I'm like, this is appropriate. This is right. Like I was telling you about, I hadn't seen one of my good buddies for a while, and I hadn't said stuff like this to him. And I went up to him and I was like, hey, man, I missed you. And he goes, oh, I missed you too. And there was that little moment of dude, bro, you know, vulnerability that was really cool. There was a joy that came of that. And I was like, oh, that's good. That's right. That's perfect. But then there are also other times where I think I've let the guard down in an inappropriate way. You know, like maybe when I'm the doctor and I have some kind of authority, either with the nurses and everybody that's there or a patient or I was given the example of, you know, being too vulnerable too early in a relationship, you know? Mm. And so it's like how to balance that and to know, like, okay, it's appropriate and good here, but maybe that's not quite right there, and I can't figure out why.
So I love that, and I actually really love that you even share that right now, because I think that's it right there. That's empowering for people to hear someone who is as accomplished as you to be able to say, maybe I was in that place that wasn't appropriate there. And here's the balance that I would see it as a professional. Like, I might share, I might allude to me going through something, but I'm not going to go into the details and put myself in a spot where I need you to help me. So if I'm the one who's a professional, I'm not going to say, let's say I'm working with an inmate. I'm not going to say, I might allude to, yes, definitely. I struggle with anxiety as much as anyone else, but I'm not going to say, oh my goodness, my mind was racing today. And what do you think I should do about this? Because then that changes the dynamic of where we are.
That's inappropriate. Let me give you an example. So, like, let's say I go in and I talk to a patient, and I don't know what's going on with them, you know? So, and they're like, well, doc, what do you think? I don't want to be so vulnerable and be like, you know what, I got no clue. You know, like, that would not be the right kind of vulnerability to admit that I don't know what's going on, even if it may be true and it may open me up a little bit. Like, that's actually counterproductive. What I would say is, you know, given your, you know, history and your risk factors, what you're telling me and what I see, here's the tops of my list, and I want to do these tests, and then we'll see what these tests show. And we'll know more when we have that information. And that's my plan, and that's what I want to do.
I love this.
You know,
and listen,
it's too early for me to say.
I love this.
You know what I mean?
We're going to keep going. We're coming. You're sticking with us. This is Emotional Management on KDKA Radio. Welcome back to Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. This is your weekly checkup from the neck up. Tonight, my guest is Dr. Larry Burchette. It's a pretty cool tagline they have here at KDKA Radio. But my guest is Dr. Larry Burchette. You can learn about him at drlarry.com. He is awesome. He is the author of A Gentleman's Diet, and we're talking about that concept of vulnerability in relationships.
You're too kind. Yeah, vulnerability. Where were we?
I was talking about it
like being the doctor. You know, you can't go in there and be like, if you came in with chest pain and you're like, doc, what do you think? And I'm like, well, it's probably not a heart attack, but I'm not sure. You know, like no, you're going to be okay. We're going to do some tests. I need to check X, Y, and Z. This is what I'm worried about and what we're going to look at and da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? Like, chances are you'll be fine. Right?
Like, that's awesome. Kristen, that's like a like a commercial. You're like, I have no idea. But hey, I'm one of the doctors in town.
Like vulnerability gone too far.
Right. Well, I mean, I think, but in a professional setting, though, also, you know, people come in and part of it is that idea of saying, I need to know someone's going to know something. I mean, when you go to see a doctor, you want to say, well, at least you're going to tell me something. I mean, it's funny because in my profession, if someone comes in and challenges me, I'll say, I don't know. You're right. I don't know. But I'm not opening them up. Like, so I can say, you know what? I'm really not sure what it's going to look like. Now, when I say that, I have the confidence to know that I'm going to fall back on a theoretical approach, like at some point your thoughts are going to be causing your impacting your feelings. At some point, what you're doing is going to impact what you're, I feel comfortable in saying I don't know how it's going to roll out, but understanding those dynamics is certainly helpful. But I do think it's different. But you're right, though. I mean, there is that balance, and you mentioned it too within dating too, and a lot of times people get together and they say, you know what, I'm going to open up really fast because I want to get this to the heart of the relationship, and the reality is it, like, can't work.
I feel like Brene Brown. I love Brene Brown. I read her stuff and it's like vulnerability, everybody be more vulnerable. And then I'm like, the times that I've been too vulnerable too fast and opened up like that, has backfired. Like, that does not work. That's why I like this little phrase that I made up. I just made this up.
Give it to
emotional
me.
Wisdom, like practical knowledge about emotions, like vulnerability, when it's appropriate to be vulnerable. I'm pretty proud of myself with that concept.
I love it. I love it. Emotional wisdom. I love it. It fits in on our show right here at Emotional Management. So it's interesting because in a relationship, if you try to rush the process, relationships go through stages, and you can... You know, the opening stage where you have that persona up, those masks up. People have tried to, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, so I've heard people come into therapy and say, well, I'm tired of having that stage. I want to just get right to it. And the problem is you can't force that, because as human beings, it's our nature to have those masks up, whatever they are. And if you rush that, you rush the stage. So it's almost like your car, a train car, goes off the track when you go too deep, too fast.
When you rush it, you screw it up.
Yeah. So emotional wisdom, that's one of your stages.
Yeah, this is one of the part, you know, for all the single guys out there like me, let's get back to those stages and how we navigate through that stuff. Let me say a couple other things about this gentleman idea. So number one was emotional wisdom, getting deep in that stuff. Number two, I think today's gentleman has a sense of mission and the purpose about your life, what you're doing here. You know, like, we are all going to die. You and I are going to be dead one day, hopefully in like 50 years or maybe 70 years if there's some incredible breakthroughs. But it's precious. You know, like, live a great life. Get out there. Enjoy your life. And have something that you're fighting for, that you're passionate about. The next one, number three, I think a gentleman takes care of himself, not just grooming and appearance, but your body, weight, you know, staying strong, exercise, diet, nutrition, the fuel you put in, your mind, you know, mental maintenance, mentally. The fourth thing that I would say is I think, you know, today's man is about win-win, about interdependence, no longer being the island, independent, not wanting to be the alpha just to pound everybody and be on top, but that there really is enough out there for everybody. I think this is what these are some things that I would say are kind of in today's leading man.
I love that. That's so sound, and it is holistic. It's, you're looking at people are body, mind, and spirit beings, and you're looking at all of those aspects. The sense of purpose, like, so existentialists, philosophers would talk about that we're finite. We, you know, so I was a professor for a while, and when people would first start to study existentialism, they'd say, well, isn't this depressing? We're talking about death. And to the contrary, to understand that you have the limits that actually increases your ability to say, okay, my time is limited, so I'm going to do everything I can in this time.
Oh, it's so motivating. I mean, it's an edge, right? It's that balance. It's like you can be terrified we're going to die, and you experience anxiety. I just hit 40, and I'm like, this might be half over. I mean, it might be over this year. You never know.
Right.
But I started to have some anxiety where before we were like billionaires with time, and I just never thought about it. But now it's like, wow. And so there's like this shift within me where it's like, okay, what do I want to do? Who do I want to do it with? Who do I not want to deal with at all? Like, what stuff am I sick of and I'm just not going to put up with anymore? Well, that became clear too. But I think it's grounded in, you know, our time is finite.
You just taught me a phrase I've never heard before. We're like billionaires with time, thinking that we just have as much time as... I love that. That's wonderful.
Well, we used to... When you're born, you are. Then you get more poor with age. That's how it... That's just... Everybody... The sands of time go. Time... It's a natural shift that everybody experiences, along with, you know, we're no longer invincible. We can't do the things that we did at 16. I can't. Maybe you can.
I mean, I'm stronger than I was at 16. I was about half the size, though. So I always say my wife lost out on this deal because, you know, when we met, I had hair, you know, abs. I'm 250 pounds now, bald. She looks even better now. So it's kind of like unfair, I think, to her.
Yeah, but you think about what you know and like your maturity, all that stuff blows it out of the water, everything else out of the water. But you know, you're, I would imagine you're in such a better place. Than
yeah,
when you
definitely.
And just I mean, finishing puberty.
Right. Definitely such a, and I wouldn't take it change anything for anything. But I love, so, and I also like that idea of takes care of themselves at number three for you, because I've seen people through the years, like couples, and they don't really put a lot of effort into themselves. And then they wonder why their loved ones aren't as drawn to them as they used to be. I specifically remember a case one time where I had a woman said, my husband's not interested in me at all. And then when I brought him in, he said, you know, she literally has, she's twice the size of when we met. And she said, and he said, it's not even that. It's that she literally plays a game called Candy Crush all day long. And her justification was, I only play it for about 3 or 4 hours in the morning, a few hours in the afternoon, and then about 3 or 4 hours in the evening. So I was like, do you realize if you add those hours up, that's like a long, long day.
But brain has just been melted.
Right. So when you talk about take care of themselves, like you want to put effort in. Like, for instance, I put effort in. I watch my wife. She puts effort in every day because we care about being the best we can be for each other.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot about the language to get that concept across to men. Men don't like spas. Women love spas. You know, like it's when men don't. And I think some of the best language is like a car maintenance. What kind of routine maintenance do? Do you change the oil? What happens to a car if you don't change the oil for too long? Engine gets ruined. What kind of fuel are you putting in? You know, like are you putting diesel into a Ferrari? Or even the analogy, like what kind of car are you? How do you treat yourself? Do you treat yourself like, you know, you're a BMW, or do you treat yourself kind of like you're this junky old Ford, 1983 Ford F-150 beater, you know?
I feel like we have more to talk about. I want to know if I can get you for one more segment after this.
Hey, buddy, I'll stay here as long as you want.
All right, I'm gonna get you for one more segment. So, listen, if you want to learn more about Dr. Larry, go to drlarry.com. You can also find him on Instagram, and here's what it is. It's at Dr. Dr. Larry Burchett, Burchett on Instagram. You can also find him on YouTube. We're going to talk about that coming up as well. Super excited to have Dr. Larry Burchett on the show tonight. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. This is Emotional Management on KDKA Radio.
You're listening to Emotional Management with Dr. Christian Conti on KDKA Radio.
I'm Dr. Christian Conti. This is Emotional Management. Super excited tonight. I have Dr. Larry Burchett on. I mean, really, this is great. Like Dr. Larry is an ER doctor. He is a gentleman. You can find him on Dr. Larry Burchett on YouTube. B-U-R-C-H-E-T-T. But let's get back to talk. So you have a book called The Gentleman's Diet. Tell us about that.
The Gentleman's Diet. Well, I wanted to call it The Bachelor's Diet because I went on The Bachelorette years ago and they wouldn't let me use that word. Bachelor. It was like trademark.
How was that going on The Bachelor? What was it, The Bachelorette?
Oh, it was a disaster. I was one of the guys, one of the 25 guys, and it was a lot of fun, though. It was a lot of fun. Might have drank a little too much tequila. The girl was not exactly thrilled with me, but I had a great time with the guys, and it was a really cool experience to kind of see,
Hey, life teaches us so much. I opened up the show at the beginning of the hour talking about how we can change regret into just learning lessons from it, so... But
let's just say there were some lessons then. So I went on the show, and I was like, oh, I'm in great shape. I'm this little punk, And then it was all these like 6'2", 6'4" models that were shredded, and I was like, oh wow, I was intimidated. And I was like, what do you eat? What are you doing for workouts? And 10 of them gave me their plan, and I was like, wow. This is really good. Like, these are disciplined guys. I'm going to write a book about this. So I put it all in this book, and I, did some good medical research, and I did some kind of motivational stuff with NLP, and it's actually a great book. I'm proud of it.
That's awesome.
That's The Gentleman's Diet, baby.
That's awesome. And, diet's so important. And talking about emotions, diet impacts emotions. I mean, tell us about that. Diet impacts emotions.
I think one of the most interesting things, and I'm going to screw this up, but they've definitely studied children in schools, and they've compared just kind of the normal processed food diet to putting in vegetables, fruits and vegetables, and better food, and, their behavior improves, their learning improves. Like, it clearly affects their ability to perform at school, and it's no different than us. I mean, you just have to kind of reflect on your own experience of, alcohol is an obvious example, but even just like overdoing it with carbs, going to McDonald's or Taco Bell, it's like glorious for 30 minutes and then you want to die for 3 hours. Like you just feel, there's a dopamine addiction process. It's not like severe, it's not like heroin, but there is a little bit of an addiction process in the short term. But then, afterwards when your body is, saturated with, foods and substances that aren't the healthiest, you feel it. We feel it.
Well, it impacts you. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I love, you're right, just you feel it. And look, it's not easy for people. So for me, when I was young, I was a skinny, really skinny, and I wanted to be bigger. Like I boxed, mm-hmm. I kickboxed. I wanted to be, I idolized the heavyweights. I wanted to be a bigger guy. Mm-hmm. So I ate and ate and ate. And what happened was when I was done playing sports, I still kept eating like I was playing. Until recently, I will eat and think.
That was the program.
Yes. Like I was just like, wow, like let me just eat as much as possible.
That was your program that got, uploaded into your brain as a teenager when you wanted to be, a fighter or whatever. And then when the fighting ended and the activity ended, that program, you never updated that program. So it kept running. Same thing. It's the same story for so many of us. I played high school football, and it was like eat everything you can because you want to gain every extra pound, so that you can hit harder.
Right.
And I ate like that for 10 years after college, and then I packed on this weight. And when I hit my 30s, my metabolism changed. I got a gut, and my daughter was like, "Daddy's fat." And I was like, no, that is not fat. And that's right when I wrote the book too. Like that was a big inspiration for me. Like that is not part of my identity. I will change. Something needs to change.
Well, you look great. You're such a sharp looking guy. So drlarry.com, you'll be able to see him, but you're definitely in shape. And I think leading by example is huge. I say this to people all the time. If I didn't practice meditation, if I didn't practice, if I wasn't practicing what I teach, you could see it. You could spot it in a second. So when you want to look at somebody who's follow a diet, you certainly want to look to someone like you who's built what really well and say, it's obviously working. What you're doing is working.
I appreciate you saying that. This is another big motivation. This is like a mission thing for me. But when I wrote that book, I was like, I want to walk the talk, I want to be a doctor who's actually you know, living what I'm prescribing. I don't want to be a fat doctor that's telling people to lose weight. I think there's a credibility issue to that. And it's taken a lot of time. It's taken years for me to figure out, how can I do it? What do I like? How does it work with my life? When do I do food prep? All these little things. Good. It's worthwhile.
It's excellent. To live that message is excellent. That's what people see and they buy into it. I laugh because I remember one time I had a guy was in one of my groups for, I co-founded a center for people convicted of violent crimes and in South Lake Tahoe, California. And this one of my guys in my group, he was like trying to cut me off and almost swerving into me. And I just slowed down and waved and smiled to him. And he pulled in front of me and he pulled in the parking lot. He jumped out of the car and he was like, man, Doc's legit. He was like, I was trying to make him so mad on the road. He just slowed down and let me go.
Exactly.
I said, well, that, you know, I mean, I live my message. I'm not going to tell you one thing and then not be in control myself. So,
yeah, you modeled that behavior. That would be a little bit hypocritical for the anger management guy to go off on people on a regular basis.
It's so true, but I mean, I definitely live that message, and not knowing how to deal. And obviously, like I said this the other day to guys, doesn't mean I don't experience anger. It's just that I know how to handle it. So there's just a big difference with that. So how do you
handle it?
Well,
are you done? Are you wrapping up?
One of the main things that I've learned to do is not be attached. I'm not attached to my thoughts, my beliefs. Like I'm not an attached person. Like I believe with conviction. Like I love Mark Twain saying, speak with conviction, but be open to being wrong. So I'm going to say with conviction, I definitely want to have you back on this show. Well, the way we're going to wrap it up is tell people how they can find out and learn more about what you're doing and let's get your message out there.
Yeah. You know, the main thing is every week I write a little blog and I do a video that's just kind of exploring this idea of what it means to be a gentleman and to take care of yourself and to try to be the man. I think it's mainly geared for men, women kind of check it out too, but to be the man you really want to be your best. That's kind of the key thing of it. And I want it to be holistic and I don't want there to be any, you know, BS.
But you know what? In the last 10 seconds, I'm going to say this. I'm going to put your stuff up again on the website to let people know about
you. Go to the website and sign up for the email.
I love it.
That's what I would say.
This is Dr. Christian Conti. Thank you so much, buddy, on KDK Radio.
This is Emotional Management, a weekly checkup from the neck up with Dr. Christian Conti, brought to you by Summit Psychology Services on KDKA Radio.
So this is Emotional Management. I love it. This music gets me heated. It gets me excited. This is awesome. What great energy. What a blessing to be able to be here with you. Thank you so much for being here with me. I really, really enjoyed the conversation I had with Dr. Larry Burchett. If you want to learn more about him, you go to drlarry.com. What a great guy, ER doctor, and he is the author of The Gentleman's Diet, so definitely check that out. We're going to get into questions, because there are questions I have from emails and texts, but I also want to talk to you. So if you have questions and you want to call in, week after week I hear people say, man, I really want to call in, but I just get so nervous. So let me put your mind at ease. No one can see you on the radio. People are not recognizing your voice. The number is 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. And then, of course, you can email on the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkradio.com. We've got some emails we're going to get to. And you can also text at 866-391-1020. So, look, this whole concept of what I started the very beginning of the show, at the top of the very first hour, I said, talking about work ethic and talking about putting your effort into what you're doing. No matter what you do, you want to be the best at what you're doing. You can't get the past back. The future is hypothetical. All you have is the present moment. The German composer, the Italian composer Arturo Toscanini, on his 80th birthday, someone asked his son, "What is your dad's greatest accomplishment?" And he said, "I can't give you an answer because whether he was conducting a symphony or peeling an orange, he put his best effort into everything he did." I really love that. I love that emphasis on the present moment and putting your best effort in. And with work ethic comes emotional challenges. There are going to be times when you're working really hard and it's going to feel like you're not getting anywhere. Let me give you an example. I'm an author and I write every day of the year. I don't take days off from writing. If you want to get good at your craft, you have to master your craft. You have to work at it. You have to put the time in. I heard a saying once that there's no such thing as good writing. There's only good rewriting. So you write, you write, you write. I learned that from my dad, who's an author. His website, by the way, is thisisnotyourpracticelife.com. He writes a blog. It's awesome. But so when it comes to work ethic and putting that time in to write, there are definitely going to be days where I will spend hours upon hours and I will only come up with maybe one usable paragraph. And that's okay. That's a part of the process. For a long time, I would get really upset with that and think, you know what? I would almost look at the day as a failure. And one day, I was struggling to come up with something. And when I came home and I shared with my wife that I had such a difficult day, she said, "You know what?" She said, "That's kind of great news." And I said, "Why is that great news?" She said, "Because you tend to have days where you write a ton after the days where you don't write some." So I said, it kind of just shifted something in me. And I thought, you know what? You're right. Like, what if I just looked at, I needed to sit through this day emotionally and understand that I was going to put my best effort in, but if I didn't come up with ideas, if I wasn't able to write, I don't give up. I don't quit. I say, you know what? I'm just around the corner to getting something more. There was a man once, and he was a frugal man. And so he ate crackers. And I mean, he was slow and deliberate in the way he ate his crackers. He ate six of them. And then when he got to the seventh cracker, he split it in half and he only ate half of it. And he got full, and he looked and he said, "Man, it only took me half a cracker to get full." He's like, "Why did I waste my time on all those other crackers?" And of course, he was a foolish man in the story, but the concept of the story was about that half a cracker is not enough. You never know which cracker is going to get you to the level that you want to be. And that's why you put all effort into everything you're doing. Let's go to the phone lines. Teresa, you are on KDKA Radio. Teresa, can you hear me?
Oh, hello?
So, Teresa, you're on.
Okay. Yeah, I just have a question about something you said. You said that you're not attached to your feelings or your emotions about things?
Yes, not attached to my ideas.
Not attached to your ideas. Well, how does that, isn't that destructive more than creative, more than helpful to you?
It could be. You see what I just did there? I wasn't attached to my perspective.
I used to read these books. I used to read these books about how to get what you want with your mind, the power of your mind.
Yeah.
And one of the things it said was to visualize what you want, but don't be attached to it. And it will more likely come to you if you're not emotionally attached.
I personally agree with that a lot. I definitely agree with that. I think when we visualize, we want to make it super crystal clear. And we say, you know what, mm-hmm. this is something I want, but I'm not attached mm-hmm. to how it's going to happen or whether or not maybe it's going to lead me to something else that's even better. And if I'm so focused on what I thought I wanted, I'm going to miss out on something that could be even greater.
But I found out there was a downside to that.
Give it to me.
Well, once you get it, once you get this thing, and it often worked. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, gobbledygook. It often worked. But when you got it, you didn't really care. You didn't really care. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like there was some sort of a letdown. Like it's not, it really wasn't, I don't know. There was no emotional attachment to it.
Well, I think, you know, there's a saying that whether you go up the ladder or down it, your position is shaky. But if you stand with both feet mm-hmm. planted firmly on the ground, you're going to be all right. I kind of paraphrased. Yeah. I forgot the last part of it. But what I like about that is that I try not to go too high with the highs and low with the lows. I mean, I remember there mm-hmm. were times in my life where I was so excited about the potential. Like, let's say, for instance, when I first started to do stuff in television, oh my goodness, I'm going to do something in television. Right. And then they'd be like, no, it might not happen. Oh no, now it might not happen. And then, right. and I got to right. a point where I thought, you know what? I feel really excited about every day. I feel grateful for every day. And I'm also mm-hmm. grateful for the things that I don't get, because I believe now at 45, I truly believe those things are going to lead me to the path where I'm supposed to be.
Okay. So the reward is not in getting.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Having
it's not. You're right. I don't think that's one of the most beautiful. That's exactly the way I say it. Eric Fromm, F-R-O-M-M, wrote a book called mm-hmm. To Have or To Be. And the principle was that in having you things, you think that like you're going to get happiness, but you never really are satisfied. But when you
right. Because it's the being that makes you happy.
Yes, that's it. That resonates with me.
Right. It's like Aristotle said, character is destiny.
Mm.
Your character is your destiny, not your what you have.
Oh, I love that, Teresa. I love that. Does that
yeah.
clarify? Does that clarify as far as what you was that I?
Yeah, it does. It really does.
I love your phone call, and I appreciate you so much. That is such a great call. Thank you so much for calling in. This is, and I love that quote too from Aristotle.
Yes, I always think about it because I just didn't realize, like, I tried to think about what does it mean that you have to do, isn't your destiny what you do? But it obviously it's more of what you are.
I really do believe
yeah.
that. I also love that you used the word gobbledygook. So that was
yeah,
just awesome.
That's a good word.
That's a great word. Thank you so much, Teresa. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for talking.
Definitely. I love what a wonderful call, and it's so, so true. I think that is so true what Teresa said. This is Emotional Management. If you want to be a part of the show, 866-391-1020. I love talking with you. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti on KDKA Radio. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. This is your weekly checkup from the neck up on KDKA Radio. If you want to be a part of the show, and I love talking to you, 866-391-1020. Had a beautiful call with Teresa. Thank you so much for calling, Teresa. If you want to be a part of the show, call 866-391-1020. You can email the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkaradio.com, or you can text us at 866-391-1020 on the right automotive text line. So Gary sent in this KDKA Radio Instant Access comment. It's a beautiful thought. He said, never let regrets take the place of dreams. Oh, I love that. Never let regrets take the place of dreams. So let's put a visual in front of you. Let's imagine that there's an enormous chest, and in this chest is a lot of heavy weights. Let's say it's filled up with a lot of things, so it's very heavy. Now, let's imagine that this chest is filled with those heavy objects or regrets. Now, imagine you had to go through your day carrying that chest around with you. It would be very difficult. At some point, you would say, to heck with it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm letting it down. I refuse to take it with me. And at that point, you would let it go. You would realize that if you saw it, that visual, and if you can see that with me right now, visualize that your regrets are heavy weights, and they're put inside of a chest, and that you have to carry that with you every day, drag it around. At some point, you're going to say, I don't want to do this anymore. It reminds me of a story. I was counseling a woman one time she was really struggling in terms of regret because she really had, I can't remember what the health illness was, but after she had her baby, she was really ill for about 8 months. And so for about 8 months of her baby's life, she spent a lot of time in the hospital and she was really ill. This was not her fault. It was not her fault that she was ill. It was not her fault that she was in the hospital. But she felt very guilty about not being there for her baby for those 8 months. So she was having a difficult time because now he was probably, I think, maybe four or five by the time when I saw her for counseling. And so she said, I just feel so bad because I wasn't there for those 8 months. So I said to her, you know, it sounds like you're allowing those 8 months, which weren't your fault at all, to impact your present moment with him, because now your mindset, you're struggling with such a psychological depression. And when I say psychological depression, I mean that in different vernacular than physiological depression. Physiological depression is chemical. It means you could feel genuinely, your thoughts could be a very happy thoughts, but your body could feel chemically down. And that's different from your mind really pulling you down with things like guilt, shame. But so she had this weight of shame, of regrets. So I said to her, how about this? What if you were to go, well, here's what I want you to do. I said, this week, when you go home, what I want you to do is, I want you to go in your kitchen. I want you to face a garbage can. And during that garbage can, and I want you to, I purposely had her face a garbage can. And I said, I want you to imagine all those, whatever guilt thoughts you have, you go ahead and have them. Let's call them up to the surface. And I want you to set a buzzer and go ahead and take 15 minutes and just say how terrible you were for not being there for him for 8 months. Just blame yourself, you know, take full responsibility. It was your fault that you were sick. It was your fault you had this. And for 15 minutes, go ahead and just bring that to the surface. And then when that 15 minutes is over, set that down and go be present with your son now. So that way we can at least contain all of that to 15 minutes. So the next week she came back, there was almost a bounce in her step when she came in the next week. And I said, so did you try my exercise? And she said, yes, but I got to tell you, she said, I literally set the timer for the microwave for 15 minutes. I faced the garbage can in my kitchen. I started to blame myself. And then I thought, what the heck am I doing? I'm missing out on time with my son. She said, something released in me. I turned around to play with him. I have never felt this good in years. She said, I let it go. I released it. And I was so grateful to be a part of something like that, because guilt, shame, they are so heavy. And listen, the difference between guilt and shame, guilt is feeling bad about yourself. If you need to feel guilty to learn a lesson, wonderful. Learn that lesson, act differently based on what you learned, and then move on. But shame is feeling bad about who you are. And my research, my career has taught me over and over again, time and again, that people who live in shame act out of shame. So for instance, for this woman, she was feeling shame about something she couldn't even control, being sick, having time away from her infant. And so that shame was weighing down on her present moment. When you live in shame, you act out of shame. Well, I can't be there around for him right now because I wasn't there for him in the past. That was her mindset. That's what she was thinking. So once we really highlighted that and then were able to release that shame, now she could move forward in the present moment without that feeling of regret that was unnecessary. I didn't want her to have that experience. So I was so grateful to be a part of that. It's one of the reasons why you hear such passion in my voice at 45 years old, 20 years doing this, over 20 years doing this, more than 20,000 hours of clinical experience where I sit down one-on-one with people, families, young people, just people of all walks of life in so many different areas. But I'm passionate because I watched that kind of change happen, and I believe it can happen for you. So maybe you're struggling and you're thinking, well, how do I get through this moment? Maybe you're having a really tough moment and you don't know how to get through it. Well, that's why I'm doing this show. I'm doing this show for you to be able to talk to you, to try to help you get through this moment, because these moments can be so, so tough. So 866-391-1020 is the number. there was a very interesting question that I got that said, do you separate anger from aggression? And that's a very important question, and it's absolutely, do we separate anger and aggression? And look, to be able to put those two things apart and realize that they are two vastly different things is really, really important. And I'm going to teach you coming up in this show, I'm going to teach you the difference between them. But I want to go to the phone lines for a minute. We have Gary in, we just lost him. But go ahead and call back because I might have messed that up myself, actually. Talk about vulnerability. I think I might have just hung up on him. So what was anger and aggression, the difference, the vast difference between the two. So aggression is, anger is an emotion. It's natural. It's a very natural emotion. When you feel anger, it can teach you a lesson. It can teach you something about yourself. It can be a motivator for you. But aggression is acting on that anger in ways usually disproportionate to what the situation calls for. When we are aggressive, we are pursuing that anger in a way that's allowing it to control us. Now, there's a difference between aggression and assertiveness. Assertiveness is being able, you have a right to your space, and we're going to get into that. I really do want to get into that coming up. If you want to be a part of the show, the number is 866-391-1020. The Dollar Bank Instant Access is kdkaradio.com, or you can text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. We're talking all kinds of things that matter to you. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti on KDKA Radio. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. This is your weekly checkup from the neck up. And we're talking about all things life, regret also. And we're going to go to the phone lines. Gary, you're on KDKA Radio.
Hey, thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. As I said the quote, and I do believe that regret should not take the place of dreams.
I love that quote. Thank you for sending that. That's excellent.
Well, thank you. I also believe, and this is just my own view, that I think, and by the way, I've listened to your program with great interest. It's a great show.
Thank you so much.
And I also do believe, you're welcome, I also do believe that regrets, if channeled right, can be a positive.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely believe that.
In a sense, and you know, you're better, obviously way better at this than I am, but I do think, and I'll be 74 in September, I do think that I've learned that it's good to sometimes look back at some of the regrets, because I do think it increases your humility. At least it did for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You're right. It does increase our humility, and we could all use it. I think ego is a burden for us, and ego gets in the way a lot of times. And sometimes we really need that step back of humility to say, "Hold on a second. I'm human. I've messed up."
I think our culture, I've never seen a culture, frankly, like this one when it comes to ego. I'm sure in the past, oh, sure, generations, yes. But I'm not so sure. This is just my gut feeling. I think it's worse this time because I don't think, and maybe you could address this. I'm not sure about this. I would be very interested in your thinking about this. I think that, and I realize you're 48?
45.
But I'm really interested in your opinion on this. I believe this culture, sure, has America gone through all this before? You know what I'm saying, generally speaking?
Yes.
Across the board. I do think this culture, in my gut feeling, is worse because I'm not sure we have the lady-like, gentleman-like culture we had in the past to solve problems and to be a healthier country.
Well, I tell you, one of the things that I think you're on point about is I think ego, it is different. And here's what's different. I think we've always had ego. I mean, I remember reading right. Soren Kierkegaard talked about in the 1830s that, that look at our generation now. So I definitely think it's probably always been there to some extent. But selfies, this new emphasis on how I look matters so much that there are how many filters on every social media app, and so you really want to make yourself look in ways that aren't even you, and that's important to people right now.
So in closing, I do think, I mean, from my own life, and you talk, and it was interesting you brought this other part about regrets. If you try not so much to, when you talk to young people or someone younger, and you share that regret and try to more or less teach them, maybe teach is the wrong word, share that view with them, then you have a positive view. Then you have two positives. You're teaching yourself humility, and you're also showing the other person that, at the same time.
I agree.
It's a win-win.
It is. It is. And I agree with you. I you're right. Because when you're teaching someone else, and even though, I mean, look, we know that when we do with young people, we want to teach them something, we want them to hurry up and get it, or we don't want them to make the mistakes we've made. And even though that comes from a great place, we know we can't assume experience for someone else. So people have to learn. We all have to learn on our own. But I do think that by, like you said, by being humble and saying, look, I made this mistake and I just want to share this with you. I want to let you know. It's wonderful to watch when you actually see it take place. Like, for instance, I've heard my daughter say in the past, well, no, you taught me this, so I'm not going to do that. And I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and he said, you know, I taught something. One of my boys came home from school and he said, you know what, Dad? He said, one of these kids was mean to me, but I thought, just like you said, why should I care what they think? Because then, you know, they're going to change their opinion. They're going to feel bad that they talked to me like this one day. And he said, you know, I couldn't even have done this when I was his age, but I'm so glad that he actually took that and learned from it.
Right. And in closing, I'd like to share this thought that I heard about 13, 14 years ago. And I read it. It was on top of an obituary column. Is that am I pronouncing your word right?
Yes, obituary.
And I'm sitting in a Starbucks, and I read this on top of it, and I'd just like to share it with you, if I may.
Definitely, please do. And
thank you. It said, I lost my thought here. Faith for today, hope for tomorrow, and love for all the days in between.
Oh, I love it. That's positivity right there, Gary.
Sure. We'll close it there.
I love it. Thanks so much for your call.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
Appreciate you. It's really great to hear that. And I love what Gary said, because I think he's right on the money that we can turn this into a positive. So let's say you have that regret. There are so many ways to flip it into a positive. One is you can learn from it and teach others. That's great. That's wonderful. That's a great positive. But I've also heard a different perspective I want to share with you as well. What if you looked at the mistakes that you made and the pain that you feel from making these mistakes as though you are taking on karma for someone else? So maybe you have to experience this pain so that your children don't have to experience it. Maybe in some way, in some universal way, you're taking some of that pain from them. What a difference that would be. I remember a story of a hunchback, and he fell in love with this beautiful woman. And so he said, he kept trying to talk to her, but she wouldn't really talk back with him. And then finally he said, she's like, how could I love someone like you? And he said, when I was in heaven before I was born, the angels said, you know, we're going to give you the love of your life. And the only problem is the love of your life is going to have a terrible hunch in her back. And he said, oh, no, please, please. He said, let her be beautiful. Let her be absolutely stunningly beautiful and give me the hunch. And it was in that moment the two of them fell in love. And the story is he took on that karma physically for her. That's a beautiful way to phrase it. I'm not saying that these are the definitive answers. As I shared with Teresa, I'm not really attached to my perspective. I'm just offering this as a potential perspective. Look, the past is gone and we can't change it. But if we were to look at those regrets in a different light and say, wait a minute, maybe I took on this karma for someone else. Maybe I need to put these regrets in that chest and set that chest down. Maybe I can teach others. But here's the challenge with teaching others. When you teach someone and then demand that they get the lesson you're teaching, you're missing out on the very same point that others probably taught you in life and you didn't always get that lesson either. So we come back to, I love Gary's point about humility, because if you're able to have humility, as you teach, you offer it and you say, you know, if this can help you, I would love for it to help you. And if it's not the right time, it's not the right time. And actually, the more you're able to let go and not force your perspective on others, the more likely they are to be drawn to it. If you think about it in terms of a magnet, and one magnet, one end pushes the opposite ends, the similar ends push each other away. So you think about it, we have a retreat mindset, almost like, don't tell me what to do. So if I tell you right now, do not think of a pink elephant. Do not think of a pink elephant with a big yellow bow on it. You're probably thinking of a pink elephant with a big yellow bow on it. When we're told not to do something, we don't want to do it. We want to get it out of our mind. You say, no, you can't make me think of that. I think that was a terrible example. I think that made the opposite point that I was trying to make. I think that when we try to force our perspective, people can resist. But when we're able to give our perspective and let go, people are more likely to be drawn to it, even if we mess that point up. But look, life isn't about being perfect. It's about learning from the moment. And if you want to learn from any particular moment or you want to talk to me, there is still time. The number is 866-391-1020, or you can email me on the Dollar Bank Instant Access at kdkaradio.com, or you can text me at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti on KDKA Radio.
You're listening to Emotional Management with Dr. Christian Conti on KDKA Radio.
This is Emotional Management. A little bit of mood music for you right there. We're bringing it in. The number is 866-391-1020. If you want to be a part of the show, you can also email dollarbankinstantaccess@kdkaradio.com. You can text us at 866-391-1020 on the Wright Automotive text line. So I want to come back to this idea of anger and aggression and assertiveness. All too often, we wait when we're angry. So let me set this for you. Anger is natural. It's an emotion. It's a human emotion. It's not wrong or bad in and of itself. When you experience anger, it's not about saying, I need to just get rid of my anger. It's understanding what to do with it, what to learn from it. I think we can think of anger as an old wise teacher. We can think, if we could really personify anger, what would anger look like? What would anger be teaching you? What would anger be trying to tell you? So in this question, I'm going to come to a specific question from Brianna. She said, she says, I can't let go. I get so angry, I lose control and can't think straight. I'm ready to flip out. I'm ready to flip out in a minute. I just can't let stuff go. Please help. So I think, look, Brianna, it's common for people not to, you know, when you're angry, to feel like, I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I want to come back to that whole concept of non-attachment. I think one of the biggest challenges people face with anger is needing things to go the way they believe they should go. So we have what I call the cartoon world. The cartoon world is the world of shoulds. People should like me. People should say what I want them to say. People should speak how I want them to speak. And we fill our minds with these shoulds. And we get so wrapped up in our shoulds that we get angry when the world doesn't live up to that. But there's the cartoon world, and then there's the real world, how the world actually is. The more you align your expectations with the cartoon world, the more you're let down. But, and this is important to understand, the world isn't letting you down. It's your expectations that are. So, Brianna, you ask, I can't let go. How do I let this stuff go? Well, one way to let stuff go is to refocus from the cartoon world of, she shouldn't have said that, he shouldn't have said that, to, they did say that. He said that, she said that. He did do that, she did do that. And understand that it might not be what you wanted them to say or do, but you can handle it. You can handle it. So one of the things that really sets us off and gets us really angry really fast is that belief that we can't stand it when. I just used air quotes. I need to stop doing visuals on the radio, but I used air quotes. I can't stand it. Think about that phrase, I can't stand it. That's not an actual true statement. If you are standing physically, then you can stand something. Your mindset drives how you feel. So if you're saying to yourself, I can't stand it, when you actually can stand it, you're making yourself unnecessarily angry. And not letting stuff go comes down to saying, I need these things to be the way I think they should be. And you might have wonderful cartoon world thoughts. Listen, having a cartoon world thought doesn't mean it's not an honorable thought. Doesn't mean it's not a healthy concept. But the real world thought is how life actually is. For instance, you might have a cartoon world thought that there should be no such thing as disease. That's a beautiful thought. I love that thought. It's not reality, but it's a beautiful thought. It's an honorable thought, but there is disease. You might have the cartoon world thought that people should be kind. And guess what? I like that cartoon world thought. I would probably share that cartoon world thought, except I know the reality is that sometimes people are struggling. Sometimes people are lost in darkness, and sometimes people aren't always kind. And that's reality. And the more we can learn to align our expectations with reality, the more peace we feel. There was a criminal, and he went to this monk, and he said, I need you to teach me the difference between heaven and hell. And the monk said, teach you? You're a savage criminal. I'm not teaching you anything. I'm not teaching you anything. You don't deserve it. And the criminal grabbed the old monk. He pulled out his sword. He was so angry that this monk would dare insult him like that. He pulled out his sword. He was about to kill him. And the monk said, that is hell. And in that moment, that savage criminal, he said, oh my goodness, this man put his life on the line just to teach me the difference between heaven and hell. I can't believe he did that. That's amazing. And he sheathed his sword. He reached down. He helped the man up, and he had a look of compassion on his face. And the old man looked at him and said, that is heaven. The difference between heaven and hell lies in our perspectives and our attitudes and the approach that we take to the world. The question is, what are you telling yourself about the world, about your regrets, about your anger, about the shoulds, about the way you think the world should be versus the way the world actually is? It's so important to be mindful of what's driving you. The more mindful you are of your thoughts, the better chance you have to take control of them. And this whole concept of non-attachment, it doesn't mean that I don't have beliefs. It doesn't mean that I don't feel strongly about something, but I'm open to being wrong. I'm open to learning something new in the next moment. I'm fascinated with this concept of certainty. So I love this researcher, neuroscientist Robert Burton. He spent a career researching the brain. I should get him on the show. Just 30 years, he wrote some wonderful books. One of his books that I really like is called On Being Certain. And he describes, as a neuroscientist, he describes that when people feel that they are certain, it actually, it sparks a part of our brain that is our emotion, not our thinking, not our higher level thinking. So when you think you're being certain because you think that you're right about something, that's actually a feeling. You feel certain. You don't actually think you're certain. And there's a whole difference about that. And that's really important to understand. The more you understand that, the more you can realize that even when you do feel certain, there's a chance that you could be wrong. And that humility allows us to set our ego aside. I mean, we live in a universe that is enormous, enormous. We have how many planets? 8, 9. We have 6 dwarf planets, hundreds of smaller planets on the Kuiper belt, on the outer rim of the solar system. We live in a galaxy with hundreds of billions of stars, and we live in a universe with 2 trillion galaxies. An estimated 2 trillion galaxies. That's a lot of planets, a lot of life, a lot of stars, a lot of our things that are out of our control of understanding. And so for us to bring the world down to the size that we think that whatever we think, whatever we believe is fact, it's arrogant. It's arrogant. And to combat that arrogance, combat that ego, is humility to say, you know what, maybe there's more out there. Maybe there's more that I just don't understand. And I think when we lead with that kind of humility, we find peace much quicker. And isn't that what we're all seeking? Peace? Instead of trying to control the outside world, let's all seek to control ourselves. That's what this emotional management is all about. That's what this show is all about. This is why I do what I do, because we are all in this together. I'm here every Monday night. And until next time, as always, I wish you much peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.